We've been announcing for a few weeks that this morning, Derek Bass and his family from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam, was going to be with us, and indeed they've arrived. And the first hour, as we usually do when we have a guest speaker in, he's going to introduce us and reintroduce us to his ministry there and what he does at the seminary and at the churches. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking. I'll let him come up and do that. If you have any questions, I met Derek in 2003. This is our 20-year reunion, and I'm sure that was why he decided to come here. Our 20-year anniversary. He was a security guard. Were you working on your THM at that time? I think, weren't you? Yeah. But he was a security guard, and he was doing his hourly rounds of the dorm that I lived in. And I don't even remember. Actually, I think I do remember meeting you for the first time. We ended up watching a football game together. But after that, he would come and hang out in my dorm room and talk. And, yeah, the rest is history. We can tell you more about that if you want to know. But Derek, come and tell us what the Lord's doing in the Netherlands. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris, I thought you were going to tell them how you couldn't hardly even walk or talk or chew gum at the same time until I came into your life and completely revolutionized everything for you. So, church, it's really good.
Basically Justin until Derek came into my life.
So that gives you some categories to work with. But it's a real joy to be back. This is actually our third time visiting. We met many of you back in 2015 as we were in the process of ramping up and fundraising and getting onto the mission field, and then came back and visited you guys in 2017. So yeah, it's been 6 years, and a lot has changed. Like as you see my kids, and if you remember us from last time, they've grown a little bit. So we've been there now in the Netherlands almost 8 years. It'll be 8 years in January. And by God's grace, we're still pinching ourselves that we get to be involved in this ministry. So this little first slide, that's a cityscape of Amsterdam. I was telling Pastor Donnie, I downloaded this off the internet, but I'm almost certain that's Amsterdam, on the Amstel. So it's a nice cityscape of the city. We like to say the Basses in Amsterdam at Tyndale, the gospel to the nations. And that will make sense as I talk about the nature of our student body at Tyndale. It's very diverse, and that was one of the things that gripped our hearts and was essential to God's call on us to go over and serve there. We have alumni from over 85 different countries, and almost all of those countries are countries that, you know, missions agencies and denominations are rightly sending workers, missionaries, cross-culturally to take the gospel to. So this is the family, and even when you see the family over here, not going to make them come up and sing a song or anything. I joke with them about that, but they're over here on the third row on the left. This is only like a year and a half old, and they've already grown a lot since then. Tyndale Theological Seminary, this is the mission statement of the school. It is a mission seminary. All the professors raise our own support. We're all missionaries. And it's very much like a mission-sending school. Our students are coming from all over Asia, Europe, Africa, and they're coming to us for 2 to 3 years, depending on their master's programs, and then they're headed home to, our hope is, more rightly and clearly proclaim the gospel and make disciples. So our mission statement of the school is Tyndale Theological Seminary stands as a witness for Christ in multicultural Europe, equipping leaders to reach Europe and the world with the gospel. Another theme verse for the school would be 2 Timothy 2:2, entrusting these things to faithful men who will entrust them to others also. So this gives you a little bit of the composition of the school. This is an all-school photo from a year ago, faculty on the front row, spouses and administration on the second row, and then the rest is our student body. So on any given academic year, we're going to have students from between 20 and 30 different countries. Some years we have more students from Africa, some students more from Asia, some years more from Europe. And as I, hopefully you can see that okay, as I think through some of the things that makes Tyndale unique, I've already hit on this, but the first is that it's ethnically and culturally diverse in our student body. So alumni from over 85 different countries, 20 to 30 different nations represented in our student body. It's also theologically diverse, a theologically diverse faculty. We are an interdenominational school, so we're not a Baptist school, we're not a Presbyterian, we're not an Anglican school. Indeed, on our faculty, we have all of what I've just named on our faculty. The two guys I pray with weekly, one is a Presbyterian, one is an Anglican, you know, a Baptist, an Anglican, and a Presbyterian. Sounds like a joke, but it's us gathering together weekly to pray. Theologically diverse, but unified in central evangelical doctrine. So our school is confessionally, robustly evangelical, one of the few schools on the continent of Europe that would articulate in a doctrinal statement the inerrancy of Scripture, for instance. And so it's conservative, but there's a theological diversity. And that's actually beautiful because our student body is theologically diverse in the same way that our faculty is theologically diverse. So it's enriching for them. It's also enriching, I think, for we faculty to be, you know, unified in core evangelical doctrines and then growing and recognizing and being charitable to one another and showing that and modeling that for our students in secondary and tertiary doctrinal matters. Another way I would describe Tyndale, and we would describe ourselves, is an intensive holistic education. So it's kind of become a buzzword in theological education to be holistic education. So we're not just, it's not just about we professors from the front of the classroom, you know, communicating information, and you just need to get all of this theological information in your head. You just need all these right thoughts. You need to dot all your theological I's, cross all your theological T's. But really, life on life, we professors mentor students. So every year I have three mentees that, in addition to my classroom teaching, in addition to my administrative duties, I've got three brothers every year that I'm given to invest in, to disciple. So that's very life on life. We're seeking to, again, be more than information transfer because the gospel is more than just information transfer, right? It needs to transform our hearts, right? We're being transformed into the image and the glory of Christ from one degree to the next. And so that's a process that we seek to really inculcate at Tyndale. This is our little board. It's not all of our students. We have between 60 and 70 students a year, 40 living on campus. And so this gives you a little bit of a perspective of our students coming from all over the world. So coming from all over the world and going all over the world. As I think about Tyndale and what makes Tyndale unique, this is one of the things that I regularly talk about. It's what I call the built-in gospel corrective of Tyndale Theological Seminary. And this is what happens when you have a class, let's say, of 16 students from 12 different countries. The truth of the gospel is the truth of the gospel. There is absolute truth. The meaning is in the text of Scripture. It's not a wax nose that we can make say whatever we wanted to say, but the reality still stands that people come with presuppositions from whatever cultures they're coming from, and that does affect the way we read Scripture, for better and oftentimes for worse. You may do this without even realizing it, you know? I'm looking at largely, I think, American Christians, and sometimes we can presume things about the gospel and about the Bible based on our social locatedness and read that into the text. Well, what happens when you're in a classroom with 16 students from 12 different nations is that gets spotted more often than not. If I'm studying with just Americans or just Dutchies or just Ghanaians, you know, our assumptions, our cultural idols can fly under the radar, and we can assume them as we preach the gospel and as we seek to interpret Scripture. But what happens is this built-in gospel corrective, you know, of intercultural, you know, studies. We teach intercultural studies at Tyndale, but every class is a class in intercultural studies and hermeneutics. As, you know, our idols are exposed as we're looking at the text together, and we can, you know, help one another to deconstruct those idols and more clearly understand Scripture and better proclaim and understand the gospel. So gospel clarity, charity and love toward one another as we seek to help one another, deconstructing our cultural idols, and then our students going back and entrusting the truth of the gospel, a greater clarity upon the gospel with those to whom they're heading home to serve and to minister and to disciple, which is, I think it's amazing and it's beautiful. Went backwards. There we go. This is a shot of our graduating class. So back row is faculty. Front row is our graduating class. And just kind of diversity-wise, going from my left to right, we've got the Netherlands, Cameroon, Rwanda, the Netherlands, Rwanda, Ethiopia, the Netherlands, Ghana, Hungary. So not our most diverse graduating class, but still pretty diverse. You see it in that. And so in the next little bit, I'm going to kind of talk about three ways that I serve at Tyndale. And I'm also going to call my wife up in a second, because over the last several years, she has more and more been taking on a pretty critical role at Tyndale. And so I want her to talk a little bit about that. But I'm going to talk a bit about my teaching, because I'm a professor of Old Testament language and literature. So I teach everything from beginning Hebrew to Old Testament theology. I'm also, as I mentioned a second ago, mentoring students. And then we all, as professors, as missionary professors, we all have administrative duties at Tyndale. So I'm now the director of institutional relations, tasked with trying to connect our school with other schools in Europe and throughout. So I'll talk about that in just a second. So first, teaching Hebrew, teaching exegesis, and teaching Old Testament theology. So everything I'm doing as a professor of Hebrew and Old Testament theology is ultimately aiming at whole Bible biblical theology, trying to help my students to see Christ in the first, well, in all of the Bible, but especially in the first 76% of their Bible. That's the Old Testament, the first 76% of your Bible. Just pause and just think about that for a second. That's a lot of your Bible. So it's oftentimes the part of our Bible that people struggle with interpreting the most diversity of genres, parts of it that you're looking at and you're saying, you know, what do you do with blessed is the one who dashes babies against the rocks? Anyway, I've actually preached a sermon on that to help my students just to see how to move from the text to proclaiming the gospel from Psalm 137. So we emphasize at Tyndale the biblical text. We teach 4 semesters of Hebrew. That's the bottom, you know, basic education. You get at least 4 semesters of Hebrew, which by seminary standards, that's a lot. But this gives us the ability to actually teach the languages in such a way that the students can use them in pastoral ministry, in their preaching ministries. So moving from the text to biblical theology, and again, ultimately driving at, yeah, some of our students go on to do PhDs, and the education will prepare them for that, but fundamentally, we're about the church, and we're fundamentally training men and women to be able to handle the Word of God, preach the Word of God. So here's a picture of me from this spring in my beginning Hebrew class, and this is a tagline I took from one of my professors at Southern Seminary, Peter Gentry. I regularly say to my students, there's no theology without morphology. You know, so going from the Hebrew alphabet to my Old Testament theology class, where we're looking at the Old Testament in Hebrew and seeing how things connect together and are ultimately pointing to Christ. There's no theology without morphology. What does that mean? Well, you know, every word has little forms and, you know, morphology, sounds, phonology. You know, you have to learn to read, you know, before you can theologize. So I'm trying to teach them to theologize by seeing how the biblical writers theologize. So my focus in biblical theology is the use of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the use of the Old Testament and the Old Testament. If we want to think God's thoughts after him, if we want to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, then the heart of that is reading the Bible the way the biblical writers read the Bible. And that's what I get to do, and I love it. It's my passion, and it's a joy. I'm going to flip through a few slides here. This is my first class that I taught at Tyndale. This is, we were talking about it a minute ago, Justin and Chris. This is winter of 2016, so I was still pre-beard. Come fall of 2016, I will be bearded up until the time right now, the present. So this is pre-beard. This is my first class at Tyndale. We were in the country 9 days, and they said, you don't have to teach this class. Somebody else can teach it, but I really wanted to teach the class. And so going left to right, Rwanda, Germany, Greece, Ukraine, of course, my unbearded self, another Greek brother, Ghana, and then China / the Netherlands. So this is the first group that I got to teach Old Testament theology, a real joy. This is a class from a couple of years ago, same OT theology class. They're giving papers here on the New Testament's use of Hosea. So we had been spending a couple of weeks looking at Hosea's use of the Old Testament, and now they're looking at key instances of the New Testament's use of Hosea and trying to see how, you know, Matthew, Jesus, Peter, and Paul are doing the same thing that Hosea was doing just later in redemptive history. And this is Stefan from Germany giving his presentation. Another year, this is actually Corona times. You can see the desks are spaced out 1.5 meters. It's almost kind of a blip in my mind. But anyway, we're there. The government let us meet in person for this final assessment. And these guys were given like an hour-long presentation on their papers and really, really good times. And with this class, I usually then bring them over to my house. We have hamburgers, cookout, and a big party at the end, which is something that I guess even in America, a lot of students don't experience that, like coming to the home of their professor and hanging out and really getting to know them. But especially if you're from Africa, the relationship between professor and student is usually adversarial. You're usually scared of your professor, you know, kind of like don't look at them directly in the eyes. Certainly you would never come by their office and ask them questions. And God forbid, no way you would ever go to their home and sit at their table and have a meal. But that's what we get to do. And these brothers are from Rwanda, Kenya, Zimbabwe, the Netherlands, and Ghana. So mentoring and shepherding, I mentioned this a bit ago. Life-on-life discipleship, three mentees. We have one of the professors will kind of direct our mentoring program. We'll be assigned a book that we're to read through with them, meet with them, dialogue about it. It can, and I don't know how every other professor handles this. I mean, it can just become another class. Like, you know, you read and you kind of hide behind the reading and books. But that's not how I do things like this. I can be a little invasive and ask questions and, you know, kind of engage and try to pull things out of the students. Because our goal is to really mentor them, to really see them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's discipleship. We're not just playing games. We're trying to help these brothers and sisters be ready to go home and minister the gospel. So that's really wonderful. This is my first group of mentees. So this is fall of 2016. Again, beard, Chris, the beard's there. Fall 2016, that's Victor from Nigeria over my right shoulder, Ottavio from Italy, and Florin from Romania. This is three mentees from 2021, Ajay from India, John David from Rwanda, Eugene from Ghana, though he came to us from the Gambia, which is a pretty heavily Muslim, dangerous country. So regularly have these guys over to dinner, and I think it's the next slide. Yeah. So we've one of the traditions we've developed, I wish I could zoom in on that, but maybe you can see it pretty good. This is the graduate burger, okay? So we regularly have our classes to the house and, you know, cookouts, American hamburgers are a staple. But when I love John David in the green, he's really excited. Partly because he's been waiting for this for, like, by this point, 3 years, because it's been a tradition where when my mentees graduate, then we throw this big party and they eat the graduate burger. You know, they've eaten many burgers by this point, but the graduate burger is like 2 half-pound patties, of course, a slice of cheese on each patty, about 6 pieces of bacon, and then an egg, you know, a fried egg. So I'm not sure if it's the next, no, sorry. There's a picture with the egg just running down their face, which is the whole point. We also, one of my colleagues in Old Testament just finished his PhD, so then we had to do a PhD graduate burger, and we slid a piece of sausage in there. So it's maybe why people want to be my mentees. I don't know. I think it's my mentoring, but it could be the burger. I don't know. Here's Florin. He was in a previous slide, but he's a brother who his family moved from Romania to the Netherlands before he started school at Tyndale. You know, he worked full-time, has a family with 4 kids. He took like 7 years to get through the program because he was fitting in with everything else and also being an elder at a church that he helped to plant in Rotterdam. So this is, I mean, you know, investing in students and discipleship, you know, every student's not the same. Your relationship with each student is not the same. This is a brother I've gotten to go and preach at his church, and he's translated for me as I'm preaching. It's just a really, really dear brother, and I'm thankful to the Lord for him and his ministry. There we go. Anton Stokes, another one I could just go on and on about. A real delight and a joy to have him in my class. He's originally from Zimbabwe, but lives permanently in the Netherlands. He's, you know, one who's gone back, you know, during an extremely prosperous career as a consultant and an entrepreneur, you know, has this desire to teach the Word of God and be a pastor and studies theology and, you know, is now looking for kind of what is next, what's next for him. Let's see here. The guy in the middle is American. We don't have a lot of American students, but he came to us after 2 years. He and his wife are with African Inland Mission. They were 2 years in Kenya. They came and studied at Tyndale for 3 years, and now they're serving faithfully in Tanzania, discipling and mentoring pastors. His family, they're all fluent now in Swahili, but he's a dear brother. I hope to go soon and be on location with him for a couple weeks and help and teach and help him, come alongside him and teach pastors with him. This is Ajay, who just graduated in 2022, is an Indian brother. He is back now in Hyderabad, which is, I think this is the, yeah, it's a city of 6.9 million people. So Ajay is back in Hyderabad now. He's married. He's helping to plant a church in the middle of Hyderabad in Telugu. I just could not be more proud of this guy. What a delightful brother to get to invest in for 3 years. So he ended up deciding to come to Tyndale because we were launching, and I'll talk about it in a second, we were launching our Preachers and Leaders Conference on expository preaching, and he saw that it was Tyndale together with Nine Marks and Simeon Trust, and he's like, oh, this is my school. And then he looks, you know, at the faculty, and he sees that I studied at Southern Seminary, and that locked it down for him. And then when he was being picked up from the airport. In God's providence, I was the one picking him up from the airport. Sorry, a little emotional. And then I was the one dropping him off to send him back. So this is what we want. We want him to go home. We don't want him to stay. We don't want him to get comfortable in the West. So it's still hard. Thankfully, I think thankfully, every student isn't this, you know, not this close with every student. I'm going the wrong way. Or it'd be, graduations would be really, really hard if I was this connected with every single student. But excited for his ministry and life back in India. So I also play this role as director of institutional relations, and that's kind of going up across the top. That's seeking to connect the school more deeply in Europe. I'll mention the conference that I lead in a second, but our first conference that we had was at the school in 2019, and Dutch pastor after Dutch pastor was saying, I'd never heard of Tyndale before this conference. You know, now I'm excited about the school, you know, and thankful for the conference. But that really put a burden on my heart for the Dutch church than ever before. And ever since then, the Lord has been just opening doors without me really seeming to make much effort, opening doors for opportunities to work together and partner with other Dutch organizations. So seeking to build relationships in Holland and beyond for the school, and then fundamentally resourcing the church in the Netherlands and beyond. So this guy I'm standing with here is Mateus Ficari. He and I met in March. This is an example of what I'm doing and what I also just feel like is God's favor in opening opportunities that I went to this conference in among Central and Eastern European Baptists in March in Hungary, to make connections for the school, try to, you know, hopefully move towards some partnerships. And the guy leading my group among the theologians in the group is this guy, Mateus Ficari. He teaches at Warsaw Baptist Theological Seminary. He's also a pastor in Warsaw. Really wonderful brother. We hit it off, spent hours together getting to know one another, very like-minded. So then, you know, as we begin to progress in the conference toward, you know, some outcomes, you know, they're inviting me to come and speak at a conference and give a paper this coming April. He and I were talking about, you know, him coming to Tyndale, me going to Warsaw. So in June, I went and I taught a couple of classes. This is me teaching one of their third year bachelor course. I was teaching them a class on Hosea's hermeneutics and then also on some threats to inspiration, from 19th century threats to inspiration. Anyway, very good, encouraging time. I couldn't have been more encouraged by these Polish brothers and their engagement and their desire to learn. The outcome of that was Mateus there in the middle saying, there's probably about 10 or 15 Poles that want to come study at Tyndale now, which that's encouraging. He's coming this fall, and he's going to be giving our colloquium address this fall. His focus, he's a systematic theologian. He worked and did his doctoral dissertation, which has been published, on Abraham Kuyper. Some of you may know the name. He's a Dutch theologian, Dutch Reformed theologian. So it's kind of funny. You got a Polish Baptist writing on a Dutch Reformed, Abraham Kuyper. So he's going to come and he's going to give his talk on public theology. God willing, it'll be a time we're trying to gather Dutch Baptists to Tyndale, have a big meal together, as well as, you know, have this lecture that he's going to be giving this fall. So I had it on the previous slide, but he is also now the president of the European Baptist Federation. So that's really exciting, as he's a wonderful leader and trying to help him bring people together, try to gather Dutch Baptists so that he can communicate and cast vision of how he's wanting to see European Baptists work together for the sake of the gospel. But this just happened. The Lord blessed with a new friendship. And I want to call Elizabeth up to share a little bit about what she's doing to help me in all of this.
Hi. Thank you for welcoming us this morning. It's a privilege to be here. And yeah, I can't believe it's been so long since we've seen, the Davises and you guys. So thank you. So I'm Elizabeth, and we have four children. You saw their picture earlier, but Elijah, who's 16, Caleb, who's 15, Micah, who's 14, and Anna, who's 11. So yeah, we had some busy years. And we live in the Netherlands, and we do all of these amazing things. We also just live a normal life as well. So when we first arrived in the Netherlands, I was able to homeschool the kids for a couple of years. I'm what the Dutch call a thuisvrouw, so a stay-at-home mom. And I was able and privileged to do that, which was great, as we were trying to figure out the country, figure things out. But we hit a certain point where we realized it was very important for the kids to learn the language, and that just wasn't happening at home. We put them in sports, but it still just wasn't happening. Derek and I don't know Dutch. We get by. So you can get by there without knowing it, but for it to be home, especially for the kids, that was important. So the kids, they killed it in school. They picked up the language. They really trusted us. And went to school. Sorry, I'm really proud of them. Also, sorry, that was unexpected. So the kids are still in Dutch public school. They play sports in the Netherlands and are fluent, but are not our translators. We try not to have them translate for us, although it's very tempting. We also live normal life where we're involved in our local church. Tyndale would not exist if it weren't for the local church. We believe Tyndale exists to serve the church. So for us, finding a local church was extremely important. It was also difficult to find a good gospel preaching church in Amsterdam. Amsterdam is in need of solid gospel expositional churches. We had the privilege of finding one who was just getting started, so we felt like we were kind of helping with this church plant. We were there for about 6 years, and now we've transitioned to a different church, which was a church plant, and helping them. Derek will actually step on as elder of this church that we're a part of now. It's called Grace Church Amsterdam. It's a Baptist church, and just help support our pastor, who's been trudging along all by himself and just needing support. So we're really happy to do that. We're one of the older couples at the church, so a lot of young singles, young career people, young families, and so that's fun just to be a big brother and a big sister to these folks. We host a weekly community group in our home, and so opening up our home and just getting to do the things that you guys get to do, hosting baby showers and providing meals when someone's had a loss and things like that. And so it's normal life, but just in a different country, and there are always surprises. Even 8 years into things, we're always caught off guard by things that are just different culturally, or there's the language barrier. So if you think of that, you can pray for us in that. Also, something that we are intentional to do as we serve in the Netherlands is to be very involved in Tyndale, not just with our roles, which I'll talk about in just a second, but we were very intentional to live close to the school. So we're a kilometer and a half away from the school. Our kids are there a lot. The students love our kids. Our kids love the students. You know, they're leaving. Most of them leave a wife and kids behind so they can come and study and then go back. So they really love on our kids, like hug them and love to hang out with them. They play soccer together and things like that. So that's been a tremendous blessing both ways. Our home is always open, and we have had students just pop by. They babysit for us and things like that. So as the kids are getting older and they're involved in school, I found myself having more free time, and there were opportunities to serve at Tyndale. One of the roles that I filled for 3 years was I was an assistant cook. So we have about 40 adults that we would cook for on campus, different countries. So chicken and rice is always a safe way to go. But even in that role, it wasn't so much about the food and how amazing the food could be, but really just loving one another through hospitality, hearing things that would bless them, things that we could make. And then students would just pop by and need prayer. And so it was really fun kind of being a mom on campus. But the hours with that were fixed, and I was hoping to have something a bit more flexible so I could be more available for my own kids. So my role changed because of that, and also Derek, with all of these things that he's doing for the school, he needed help. Tyndale's a small outfit, so a lot of the people at the school wear many hats. So, for example, one gentleman is the vice president of operations and the director of admissions, so it's like very big responsibilities. So my role is honestly just as a helper. I don't just help Derek, but that's my primary role. I also assist many of the office staff, just creating graphics sometimes, helping with student recruitment. That's one of my primary roles. Thinking ahead about events. How can we make this event helpful? How can we make it easy for the people that come to our campus so that they feel warm and welcome? Again, it's just a helper role in hospitality. One of the big things that I've helped initiate and then I coordinate is our open day. So here in America, you call it a preview day. It's very common in the Netherlands as well. If you're checking out a new school, it's nice to go ahead of time and meet people and meet the faculty and the students and have a meal there. And so that's what I coordinate. And that's been really fun. And then with events, just food. Who will cater this and things like that. The next slide that Derek will show is another initiative. So my undergraduate school that I attended and then my graduate, which was at Southern, we had these things called ambassadors, and it's just students who are kind of hand-selected by the staff to represent the school. And so that's something I've started as well, because meeting our students is selling point enough, and particularly with our Dutch students, because in the Netherlands it's very global. We're a small country, most people can speak English, so a lot of immigrants come to the Netherlands, and a lot of Dutch pastors and people serving in Dutch churches are seeing a need to learn more about other countries. So an opportunity to study at Tyndale affords that, where not only are you getting a solid biblical evangelical education, but you're also getting what Derek talked about, you know, learning that built-in gospel corrective and studying with other nations.
Thanks, Elizabeth. So I mentioned, and I'll come back to it as well in a second, that we started this Preachers and Leaders Conference, but something we also started, and this was actually Elizabeth's idea, we started this spring, was a new lecture series called the Brotsman Lectures. So this is a new initiative where we took our spring colloquium, which was like a one lecture address, and I now recruit well-known evangelical scholars from across the world to come and give like this day of lectures. So this is something I, apart from raising support for ourselves, I also raise underwriting so that we can fly the speaker and his wife over and have things for them when they get there in a small honorarium. But this is named in honor of my predecessor, Ellis Brotsman, who taught at Tyndale for 23 years and is just a really fine man and still encourages and supports the school in various roles. This year we had the pleasure of bringing Dr. Thomas R. Schreiner to campus. I know Tom from my studies at Southern. He's a really good friend of mine. So he gave three lectures on the theme of Justified and Running to Win the Prize. justification where the reformers write, perseverance is obedience necessary, and then living out justification by faith in our everyday lives. Actually, if you're interested in those lectures, you can find them on Tyndale Theological Seminary's YouTube channel. They're up for your enjoyment. But that was a real blessing, and the idea is to enrich and raise the profile of Tyndale Theological Seminary. So enrich our student body and our faculty with these yearly addresses by, again, really, well-known and solid evangelical scholars. But then the goal also is working with some of my Dutch partners. I took Tom on the following day to another location where he gave the same lectures to about 120 Dutch pastors and theologians. So this is just another way of seeking to go beyond the four walls of Tyndale Theological Seminary. We're not going to be able to train everybody, so we want to resource the church, resource pastors in the Netherlands. This is one of the ways that we're doing it. So next year, we'll be bringing over Dirk Jonken, who is a Dutchman. He's actually a graduate of Tyndale Theological Seminary and is also the vice president of Tyndale House, Cambridge, and a pretty well-known evangelical New Testament scholar, text critic, the editor of the Tyndale New Testament that came out a couple of years ago. I don't think it's on this slide, but 2025, we're bringing over a guy named Greg Beal to give his lectures on the use of the Old and the New, and the use of the Old Testament and the New Testament. How am I on time? Okay. Let me do this in about 30 seconds. 30 seconds. So I mentioned this Preachers and Leaders Conference. We started in 2019 with expository preaching. David Helm was one of the speakers. Through that, I met this brother, Case von Krallingen. He is one of the founding members of Gospel Coalition Netherlands. He now teaches adjunctively for us. So just by putting ourselves out there, offering this conference, God is, you know, bringing people into our lives that are enriching the school. So it's nice to have this Dutch brother teaching at Tyndale, and he's really blessing us. And Eric Fahm was one of many elders, pastors at the conference. And this is a beautiful unintended consequence. You get like-minded brothers around, you know, good gospel-driven talks and food, and Dutch Baptist met International Baptist, and a church was planted in South Rotterdam as a result of the conference. People began to connect and network and get to know one another who didn't know previously. So that was really exciting. Last year, 2022, we had Jim Hamilton over. We focused our talks on biblical theology. This year was on doxology, the goal of knowing God. We had Matt Boswell over, as well as Jim Hamilton, another colleague who's standing behind me, and then two Dutch brothers, a part of the teaching team. Actually, the sermon I'm going to be giving in the next hour will be the sermon I gave at the conference from Exodus 15. And then next year, we're bringing Carl Truman over. The theme will be Timeless Truth for a Strange New World. I've seen in your library, you guys have The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, his big book, and then also Strange New World. Those are excellent resources where he's essentially answering the question, you know, how do we go in just a couple of generations where his grandfather would have had no category in his mind if somebody would have said, you know, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. We've somehow gotten very quickly in just a couple of generations where people seem to understand that whole concept and it's not odd or strange. And so he works through that, you know, tracing the philosophical and historical movement of that. So he'll be over with us next year. And yeah, these are prayer requests, but happy to turn it over for questions.
We have about 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Okay.
I'll come to you next, Ms. Carol.
Was hoping you could maybe flesh out a couple of those, you said cultural idols that are specific to countries and different cultures, maybe an American one, and maybe another one from another place.
Kind of tell well, I think one that's
examples.
I think the one that's probably universal is just like an ethnocentrism, where you think wherever you come from is the best place, and you know whatever your culture does is right, and you're just not really reflecting on that much. Probably an American one is, I think, you know, confusion of, you know, mission in terms of, you know, kingdom. Is this the work of the church, or is this coming about through our, you know, political establishments? So I think every culture has, you know, the danger of confusing those things.
Yeah. I think you were saying yesterday, just a lot of people that come from Africa are affected by the prosperity gospel. Is that, would you say?
Yeah, especially Western Africa. But even students who would come and they say, we don't believe in the prosperity gospel, still, you know, oftentimes there's, it's seeped in, and they still have those leanings. But yeah, I would say we gave that to Africa anyway. American missionaries gave that to Africa. So, yes.
With so many countries coming into this school, it sounds like a wonderful place to be. But how are these students selected to come to you to be taught?
Yeah, that was one of the first questions I asked when I interviewed, and the answer was that, you know, God gives us students, and I have a very high view of God's sovereignty, by the way. But I also, you know, have a high view of man's responsibility. So that's something that Elizabeth and I have really been working on since we've been there, is, you know, more rigorous interview process for students, because a lot of students find us online. Another way students come to us is through our graduates. And that's mostly a really good way to get students, because our graduates know how rigorous the curriculum is. They know what it is, and then they also know their friend that they're suggesting to come. So that's a good way. But the internet is one way, alumni another, and then I think as we're doing more things, people are finding out about us through the conferences that we're running, and that's going to be positive as well, because the people who would be interested in the conferences that we're offering, you know, are looking for the kind of training that we offer. And so that's positive. Yeah, thank you. I think that's about it, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Why don't we pray and we'll be dismissed. Then I want to remind the parents, if you have a child in Sunday school, in one of the younger two classes, to please go and get your child from the Sunday school class, so the teachers will be free to leave. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace that's been given to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the man that you raised up from Houston, Texas, and prepared him to go to the Netherlands, to train men and women to preach the gospel. And we would ask for your blessing to be upon him and upon his work, that he would prosper in what he does, and that as a result, many, many people from the nations would hear the gospel and bow the knee to Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, would you continue to meet with us today? Would you bless the preaching of your word? Spirit, would you come? Would you come in power this morning? We pray. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.